Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, October 23rd, 2008. It is now about 6:33 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast this morning, you can call in 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can contact us anytime by writing us to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. During a rebroadcast, if you're listening through our archives, you may call 918-919-0101. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. He takes a macroeconomic point of view. Best newsletter in the business. And folks, it's free. Would you believe that? He does have a paid subscription to one called The Sensible Investor. I highly recommend it. It's only $49 a year. And he is really excellent. He's a real economist, by the way. Not like me. I'm a phony one. Now, I also would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. I need to apologize this morning. First thing, we are late. One of the reasons why we are late is we were trying to connect and things just did not go correctly. Well, hopefully we have everything working now. Just let me take a look at everything we have here. It looks like we are on. Very good. And we have 24 minutes remaining on this broadcast. This will be a half-hour broadcast. We do encourage you to call 646-652-4620. Before we get into our main topic this morning, I need to get a squig of coffee, first of all. I'm running late. And I'd like to make some comments on just a couple of issues. Every morning when I shave, I have a $20 bill, which is framed, beautifully framed. And the reason why it's framed is because it's a $20 bill from 1926. And I need to put my reading glasses on these days, folks. I'm getting old, you know that. Wow. And it says on here, let's see, $20 in gold payable to the bearer on demand. This certificate, this certifies that there has been deposited in the Treasury of the United States of America $20 in gold, payable to the bearer on demand. Now, folks, is that not a currency that you can trust? Is that not a currency that you would love to have tons of in your wallet? Does that not make you feel warm and cozy? And what do our dollar bills say today? Federal Reserve notes, used for all debts, public and private. And that's about it. It's not redeemable into anything. And that's the very core of the financial crisis today. People make money, they create money, they create instruments, everything out of thin air, and everyone expects to make a heck of a lot of money. Well, it's always at the expense of someone else. And folks, you know, it's like double entry accounting. If you have a debit, you got to have a credit. If you have a credit, you got to have a debit. There's no such thing as a one-sided entry. And this is the problem with our currency today. Here, whenever we issue money, we issue debt because there's nothing to back it up. And the only thing backing up our money today is debt. Now, I want you to really think about that, folks. Now, just shake your head a little bit and say to yourself, wait a minute, wait a minute. Do you mean at one time,
At one time, our currency was backed by gold. Now it's backed by debt. I think my head's going to explode. And it should. Your head should explode. Your head should just bong. I mean, you should get angry. I mean, blood pressure should be gushing out. I mean, unbelievable what it should do to us. If we would only think about it. The problem is here in America, we don't think. We cannot think anymore. It is illegal to think. This is our problem. We don't think. We don't think hard enough. We don't say, wait a minute. Before, when I earned money, when my efforts, whatever I did, and I earned a buck, it could have been anything, doing anything, but something that I exchanged my time, the limited time I have on this earth, that I am spending performing a task in which I'm going to get compensated. At one time, I would get something of value. I would get silver or gold, which was recognized around the world as a certain value. This is what I exchanged it for. You mean today when I work, and I work just as hard and maybe harder today, they give me debt, which they inflate, and then my efforts are worth, I'm getting paid less than when I thought I was getting paid? And the answer to that question is yes, absolutely, yes, 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 and not necessarily in that order. And that's why we should be so angry. And that's why Ron Paul is angry. But of course, he's a nut. We all know that. He's crazy. Folks, if we only sat down for a minute and shed all of the stupid belief systems that were pounded into our heads when we were in school, and these damn government schools, on how the stupid government works rather than how it should work, maybe we would think a little bit. But we don't do that, do we? We just say, you know, we accept it because, you know, we have elected officials that are going to take care of us. You see, we have people and in office, and they know better than us, and I'm sure they will do the right thing. Damn. What is wrong with us, folks? What the heck is wrong with us as a people? You know, there should be a revolution. There should be literally millions of us marching on Washington, dragging those bums out of their seats onto the streets. Anyway, now here's something. Now where did my glasses go? You know, I can't see squat anymore. I don't know what's the matter with me. This is from Sheldon Richman, and from the Foundation of Economic Education, and he says this so well. He says, let's take a bird's eye view of what the Bush administration, with congressional complicity. Now, when we say congressional complicity, folks, we mean Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everybody. This is not a partisan issue. Proposes to do about the financial problems. The administration wants the authority to spend a minimum of $700 billion. This is a little old. This goes back in September 27th, 2008. It's old news already. It's history. Which turned out to be closer to $900 billion, by the way. Among other things, to spend a minimum of $700 billion buying, among other things, bad mortgage loans. Loans no one else will buy from solvent banks and other institutions. The draft of this extraordinary measure contains this extraordinary provision. Decisions by the Treasury Secretary pursuant to the authority of this act are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. The Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson would become the mortgage czar, free to hire outside managers to help manage his portfolio. And by the way, this $900 billion, folks, is going to cost about 1% to administer. That's $9 billion additional. That's going to go to all of the cronies of all these guys in office that we elected. And those are the same guys who created this mess. That's like going to the mafia and saying, hey, we need some help with organized crime. Could you help clean it up for us? My goodness gracious. Let's see, where was I? His new authority will empower him to designate financial institutions as financial agents of the government, and they shall perform all such reasonable duties related to this act as financial agents of the government as may be required of them. All this, of course, comes on the top of federal government's full takeover of government-sponsored mortgage underwriters, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the bailout of AIG, and other acts of big business socialism we've witnessed in recent days. Congress will insist on oversight, but will anyone sleep better knowing Republican Barney Frank and Senator Chris Dodd, enablers of the whole rotten system, are keeping watch? They're going to spot the next crisis in the making? Tell me another one. Senator Jim Bunning of Kentucky got close to the truth when he said the free market for all intents and purposes is dead in America. I say close to the truth because Bunning seems to not to realize that the free market has been dead by murder for some time. This financial industry has the government's footprints all over it. Now, folks, we want to know who is responsible for this. We know the answer to that question, and I won't even waste my breath repeating it. They are going through hearings right now, and those hearings, they have with the Standard & Poor's, the rating agencies. Now, here is my gripe. My gripe is not that they're having the hearings, but first of all, if a college student is found with something like marijuana on them, right? Quite frankly, basically a harmless drug to society, maybe too much may harm him, who knows? Medical evidence is still out on that one. They will get 10 years in jail. 10 years for having possession of marijuana. Our jail cells are filled with people who lit up and just want to enjoy a smoke. Now, here's my big gripe. These crooks who have ruined the lives of countless thousands and maybe millions of people, I doubt they'll get one day in jail. They may get community service, or they may say, well, they'll get 5 years and then, 6 months on good behavior, and they'll go to some place that has tennis courts and widescreen TVs, and that'll be the end of that. These guys should be put in the brig. These guys should be put into isolation for 20 years. And now the reason why we send the college student with the marijuana to jail for 10 years is because we want to set an example. Now, if that's true, let us set an example. Let us set a true example by sending all these guys to hard labor for 20 years. And I want to see that sucker on film, unaudited. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm getting just really tired of this. I'm getting really, really, really tired of this. Now, what? Here's something else I want to read. This is from Peter Schiff. I love Peter Schiff. He's super great. His books on the upcoming collapses, it's really terrific. He says, our leaders irrationally promote home buying, discourage savings, and recklessly encourage borrowing and lending, which together undermine our markets. You know, he's so right. The only place that you can get money to stimulate the economy is through savings. In other words, you put your money in an account in a bank. The bank takes that money, lends it out. You know, someone can use that money, to build a business, you get interest on your money, that's growing, that makes sense. But we don't do that today. But so, since we are literally bankrupt, we're so far in debt, we'll never be able to get out of it, what we're doing is we're creating more debt to solve the debt problem, and then we're encouraging people to spend money. We want people to spend to get the economy going. Well, if they spend money, they can't save. If they can't save, we can't lend. If we can't lend, we don't have a thriving financial system with which to drive, the economy, industry. I should say the economy, it's a stupid word, but it's a too much of a fear of word. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. I mean, drive industry, you know, and we don't do that. We do the exact opposite. It says here, greed is the elemental motivation for the economic risk-taking and hard work that are essential to a vibrant economy. That's Peter Schiff. He's terrific. Now, folks, I want to get off that. I just had to get that off my chest. I want to talk a little bit about Jesse Ventura this morning. We only have about 12 more minutes. I am a real... By the way, we have no callers this morning. 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. I listened to Jesse Ventura on Book Notes on C-SPAN 2, I believe it was, on his new book, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. I have the utmost respect for Jesse Ventura. I think he's right on. He considers himself a small L libertarian. Now, he says that because there are certain issues that he doesn't agree with. Now, he doesn't agree with them because he doesn't understand them. I listened to him for quite some time, and magically, I agreed with everything. I mean, it's very strange that I would agree with everything he's saying right down the pike. And then he said, but, you know, these hardcore libertarians, Libertarian Party, they're a bunch of anarchists. Now, first of all, I don't know why the hell he said that. Now, I'm a hardcore libertarian. I'm no anarchist. I want everything. I mean, I want everything very, very well structured. I want a rule of law. I want a court system that works. I want an army that defends this country. I want a government that keeps this whole confederation of sovereign states together. I want everything orderly. Now, rules and regulations and stuff like that don't make for order. And I think he's got them confused. But this is what bothered me. He says, for example, roads. He says there's certain things that are public domain, and roads should be one of them. He said, you can imagine if there were public roads. This is exactly what he said. He said, if I had a road, he says, I'd build a road. He says, I'd put a toll on it. And he says, I would charge people money along all that road. He said, you know, I would really make a fortune on it, you know. He says, so you just can't have that. You can't have people building roads and charging all this money and charging everyone just to go somewhere. Now, I thought of that. I start screaming. I said, this is the topic of today's program. Well, I shouldn't say the topic, but the core of this morning's program, private roadways. I said, this is a subject that drives every libertarian nuts. And I'll be honest with you, me too. I really don't understand it all that well. I wish I understood it better than I do, but I just don't. But I start thinking about it. I said, well, as my head shakes, and I'm going nuts anyway, so they're going to lock me up. I'm going to be shaking, you know. And I said, well, something like that didn't make sense. I followed him all the way along for a half hour, and now I was going goofy. And I said, just think of that. I mean, Jesse, think about what you just said. First of all, you're going to build a road through your property. Well, if you are going to build a road through your property, how much does it cost to build a road? Well, it's got to be tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, first of all, how long is it? Is it a mile? Let's say it's just a few acres long. You know, it'll cost tens of thousands of dollars. Now, are you going to invest tens of thousands of your hard-earned money? And Jesse, you earned your money, and you earned it the hard way. I would never do it that way. I mean, you got yourself broken up and everything like that. I mean, you do it the tough way, and I respect you for it. I could never do that. You're an amazing guy. But would you now take that money, put in a road, then put in a toll and say, okay, anybody want to go down this road, you got to pay a dollar. Now, I want you to visualize this. Do some visualization with me. Hold on a second. Let me fix this mic a little bit. I want you to just visualize this thing with me. You build a road, you put a toll booth up there, and you charge some exorbitant amount to go a short distance. And I don't care what it is, 50 cents, a dollar, whatever. To go a short distance, that would be an exorbitant amount of money. Are you visualizing with me? Are you there? Okay. Now, let's assume you make this turn. You have to put up a sign. You should put up a sign and say, hey, you know, toll road ahead. Now, if you don't, what do? You turn around. you turn around, you go the other way. The guy says, well, I'll make it a one-way street. Hey, if you built the road, right, and it's a private road, I can go any way I want on it. I can go up, down, sideways, zigzag. I can swerve back and forth. Makes no difference. Who's going to give me a ticket? It's a private road. Cops are not going to do anything. So I come up and I see a toll. I go, what's this? And it says, hey, you want to go another 50 feet? It's going to cost you a dollar. I go, forget about it. I turn around. What happens when I have to go that way again? Do I take that road? The answer is no. You know the answer. I know the answer. Now the whole world is informed. The whole world knows not to take Jesse Ventura Boulevard. What happens to his 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000, 100,000? Well, probably cost him over $100,000. Maybe much more than that to build this road. What's going to happen to that road? Folks, I really want you to start thinking. Now, this is Jesse Ventura. This is what he said he was going to do. I want you to start thinking. What happens to roads when they are not maintained? And I mean basic maintenance. Tree roots get underneath. Water gets underneath. It freezes. It breaks. The repairs alone on that road may cost him thousands of dollars a year, depending on how large it is. And I have no idea what length road he was talking about. But let's say even a half a mile or a mile. I'm not talking about an expressway that's going from state to state. Let's say it's just a mile or a half a mile or a quarter mile, you know, or a few acres in length. It's going to cost him. Call somebody and say, I have a road out here. It has a crack in it. I'd like a truck to come out and fix it. And just say, about how much would that cost? It would knock your socks off. So now he has to repair that road. With what? Well, now he's got to spend money on repairing that road. No one's taking that road. You know why? People are coming over halfway and they're turning around. Well, you know what he does then? He goes, ha ha! They're actually going on my highway. They're wearing it out. I'm going to put the toll right at the beginning. Right? He puts the toll in the beginning, and what happens? People don't turn there. They say, I want to go a half a mile. It's going to cost me even a quarter, 50 cents, a dollar, whatever the case may be. And people don't go. Now he built a toll booth. And by the way, who's going to collect the money? Just thought of that. Who's going to collect the money, Jesse? You have a toll booth there. Are you going to hire a person to sit there all day and all night at, let's say, $10 an hour? No, we'll automate it. How much does an automated toll booth cost? Tens of thousands of dollars. Jesse's got hundreds of thousands of dollars in this road. No one is taking it, and he's got to maintain it every year. Plus, he's got to pay taxes. He's got real estate taxes. And he's going to pay up the nose because, guess what? It's improved property. Yes, he's got a road on it. It's improved property. And he says that the reason why roads won't work, private roads won't work, is because people will be selfishly gouging other people to ride on their roads. Folks, you know, we're almost out of time. My goodness, I spent too much time just yapping about other things, and I wanted to get through this. I am going to continue this on Sunday evening. All right, this was the primer. All right, I'm going to continue this conversation on private roads on Sunday evening because it's a subject, I'll be honest, I mean, I don't fully understand it. But I think if we talked through it, if we were really just talked through the logic of it, we would come to a consensus that roads are no different than any product or services in a free market. Now, Jesse Ventura laid out to us, and Jesse, I hope you're listening to this station. And if someone out there knows Jesse, have him listen to this and have him call me, 646-652-4620. Oh, we're going off the air in a couple of minutes. Let's not do that. Have him call me on 918-919-0101 or send me email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. All right, I want to leave you with that thought. Think about Jesse's toll road. Sunday evening, we will continue that plus a couple of other subjects on Sunday evening, and we'll walk through it once again, and then we'll carry it forward to see where we go with it. But I wanted to leave you with some food for thought on private roads. Okay, fair enough? Great. All right, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for thinking with me. I would like to... This is the end of today's broadcast, and we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. You now have a control ride that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Crispiano. I'll see you, I'll hear from you Sunday evening at 8 o'clock Central Time. Right? This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.